تبسم تهنى بتبسم اللهم صلي عليه قلبي المتيم كلما صلى عليك وسلم ذاق السعادة مغرما يا سيدي يا محمد
صلوا عليه شفيع الأمة بذكر الرسول تشحذ الهمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة
قمرون قمرون قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون سيدنا النبي وجميل
محمد نبينا بنور هدينا من مكة حبيبي نور سطع المدينة من صلى صلاته واتحلى بصفاته يا بخت اللي في ظله ماشي يشفع له في ممات
صلي على محمد السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله يا رسول الله
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك
صلي على النبي وتبسم ده النبي تبسم وتبسم ده النبي تبسم اللهم صلي عليه
قلبي المتيم كلما صلى عليك وسلم ذاق السعادة مغرما يا سيدي يا محمد
صلوا عليه شفيع الأمة بذكر الرسول تشحذ الهمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة
قمر
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us for tonight's event celebrating the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, to start off our program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Abbas for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إن إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون صدق الله العلي العظيم صل على محمد وآل محمد
أحسنت brother Ali إن شاء الله please give another loud salawat
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Inshallah, for today's program, we are going to have some poetry and some mawlid by Brother Ali Jum'ah and Brother Ali Abu Khudr. To start us off, I would like to welcome our sister Zahra Hussein for some words of poetry. Please help me welcome her with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, we'll maybe get the poetry a little bit later. We're going to start off with our brother Ali Jama'a. If we could all welcome him with Hilal Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثانية على حب الزهراء صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثالثة لتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Before we begin, Eid Mubarak to you all. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you on this occasion of the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if we can just get a little bit of help with the clapping. It might be a little bit difficult for this mawlid, but inshallah, we'll try to get through it together. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa Muhammad. أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يرتوي بالحب قلبي حب خير رسل ربي من به أبصرت دربي يا شفيعي يا رسول الله أيها المختار فينا زادنا الحب حنينا جئتنا بالخير دينا يا ختام المرسلين يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي، أنت للعينين ضي، أنت عند الحوض ري، أنت هاد وصفي. يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك، يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك، يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك. صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء. ثالثة على حب سيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين. Just some lines of Arabic poetry before we begin. The poet writes, كُلُّ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَى الْحَبِيبِ تَمِيلُ وَمَعِي بِهَذَا شَاهِدٌ وَدَلِيلُ أَمَّا الدَّلِيلُ إِذَا ذَكَرْتَ مُحَمَّدًا فَتَرَى دُمُوعَ الْعَارِفِينَ تَسِيلُ. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So inshallah, when we recite, we want everybody, inshallah, to participate with us. Don't be shy. If you're shy, the person next to you might be shy, and then everyone else is shy. So let's inshallah, contribute and participate in this wonderful occasion of commemorating the birth of Rasul al-A'lam. This nasheed is called Qamarun. I'll recite it. There'll be clapping, and you guys will respond with Allah, Allah, after I say certain lines. I'll let you guys know, inshallah. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wa ajmalu minka lam tarahu qattu وأطيب منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل قمر قمر
قمر سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل 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 وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي الله الله وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي وعمن والوها كل العباد وعمن والوها كل العباد وعمن والوها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرى يا قمرون 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 أحسنت وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل ولا ظل له بل كان نورا ولا ظل له بل كان نورا تنال الشمس منه والبدورا ولا ظل له بل كان نورا تنال الشمس منه والبدورا ولا ظل له بل كان نورا ولا ظل له بل كان نورا ولا ظل له بل كان نورا وكل الكون أنار بنور طه قمرون 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 سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل وجميل ذي لايت ذي لايت ذي لايت of our lives ذي لايت ذي سورس ذي سورس ذي سورس of our bliss ذي سورس in your name the angels would sing their praises In your name the angels would sing their praises. Muhammad on their tongue and all their phrases. In your name the angels would sing their praises. Muhammad on their tongue and all their phrases. And even the Lord would send his praises and even the Lord would send his praises and even the Lord would send his praises upon you the greatest to walk this earth the light the light the light of our lives the light the source the source the source of our bliss the source a lantern of guidance in all his phases a lantern of guidance in all his phases a mercy to mankind with all his gazes a mercy to mankind with all his gazes And with one glance of life he raises, and with one glance of life he raises, and with one glance of life he raises the heart of humanity, O Muhammad, the light, the light, the light of our lives, the light, the source. source, the source, the source of our bliss, the source. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Brothers, please give another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, before the lecture starts with Sheikh Osama, I just wanted to mention, we ask that you join us for salat after, and there will also be refreshments at the end of the program and food while you're walking out. So please make sure that you stay and you help us out to enjoy those, inshallah. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our dear scholar, Sheikh Osama. Please help us welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى على محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So I would like to start by congratulating the Imam of the time, our Maraja, the leader, the mu'mineen and mu'minat all over the world, the Muslimin, their entire ummah, and of course you, dear brothers and sisters, on these two wonderful occasions. One of them being the birth of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat, please. And the other being his grandson, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat, please. Many happy returns, inshallah. Also, this marks the end of Unity Week. So we know that Unity Week, which was so important and established by Imam Khomeini, and for us, we don't want that to remain simply a slogan. Rather, we know that if we are to accomplish those goals of our Prophet, there definitely needs to be unity amongst all of us, and indeed amongst the entire Ummah. I'd like to start off because the primary discussion is going to be learning from our Prophet. We are going to learn that he was a visionary leader, and inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, I'd like to share a little part of his vision for the Ummah. But because we're going to spend time talking about the Prophet, I first want to encourage, of course, first myself, but all of you to develop a spiritual connection with the sixth Imam and to make it a habit to go to him or through him to get your needs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really have no idea of the spiritual station of the Imam. I want to mention one of the stories about the life of the Imam, and then hopefully, inshallah, we can take that and apply that. Once a man came to the sixth Imam, and this man told the sixth Imam, he said, I've got 10,000 dirhams with me, 10,000 dirhams. He requested the Imam. He said, I'd like you to purchase a house for me in Medina. I'd like you to purchase a house. He explained to the Imam, he said, I'm planning on moving here with my family, and I'd love to have a house here, and what better than to have the Imam of the time purchase a house for you? The Imam took the money from the man, and the man went, he made the Hajj, and then he came back. When the man came back, they say the Imam took him to his house. So he took him aside, but he brought him into his own house. And he said that actually I do have a house for you. He said, but this house that I'm offering you is a house in Firdaus, in Jannah. He said, one of the corners of your house will be bordered with Rasulullah. The other corner of your house will be bordered with Amirul Mu'mineen. The other border with Imam Hassan. The other border with Imam Hussein. Do you accept? The man was very happy, of course, 100%. Then the Imam hand wrote him a deed explaining that I have a house in paradise, Imam Sadiq said. And the Imam took the money, and then he, with the permission of the man, because now they've made the agreement, they have the formal agreement, he spent that money on the children of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. That man left, alhamdulillah, happy. He went back to his town because he didn't live there. When he went back to his town, a little while after, he fell sick. When he fell sick, it started to get serious, and he made a wasiyah. He told his family, he said, when I die, I want to be buried with the deed from Imam Sadiq. I have a deed from Imam Sadiq. I want to be buried with that. The family agreed. He passed away, and they buried him with his deed. A day later, they came back, and they saw something very strange. On his grave was the deed from Imam Sadiq, but it had an extra sentence. The sentence said that Imam Sadiq had honored his covenant. So, brothers and sisters, again, when I'm encouraging all of us, and first myself, to make a transaction, I'm going to talk about how we can possibly make a transaction, to make a transaction with Imam Sadiq, benefit from these members of the Ahlul Bayt, he knew what was best for the man. He knew the man was going to pass away soon. What benefit would it be? You live in another country, you're coming over here to live, have a house in Medina? The Imam does better. So how can you and I make a transaction with Imam Sadiq? One of the ways that we learn from the Urafa is to sometimes get close to the Imams through their mothers. We know in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt that paradise is under the feet of the mother. Who is the mother of Imam Sadiq? When the Imam describes his mother, remember, every woman doesn't become the mother of an Imam. The Imam describes his mother in this way. He says, "Kanat Siddiqa." Her spiritual station was one of being a Siddiqa. And he said, if you looked in the entire progeny of Ali Hassan, you wouldn't find any woman like her. So perhaps you and I, we could either give sadaqah or at the very, very least, give a salawat for the mother of Imam Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, we get through her wasila, we get close to her son, and inshallah, close to God. Now, no matter what we say about the spiritual status of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he was nothing compared to our Prophet. Our Prophet is something else. Even if we were to sit day and night and talk about our Prophet and his station and who he was with Allah, we have no idea. The reality is we have no idea. Suffice it to say, he was the role model for all of the Anbiya. All of the Anbiya. The Ahlul Bayt, they look up to who? To our Prophet. What we learn from the verses of the Quran and what we find is that when it came to that time when Allah asked Bani Adam, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And the Quran says, Qalu bala. They said that the first to say that was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So he is the perfect example of an abd. Even better than any of the Anbiya and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, for them also he was the role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a verse in the Quran that kind of tells us what our responsibility is to our Prophet. We've been blessed by being part of his ummah. What's our responsibility to our Prophet? This is Surah 33 and verse number 21. Allah says this, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Definitely, certainly, truly for you, in Rasulullah is a beautiful example. We as believers, our responsibility, Allah favored us with this Prophet and being part of his ummah, is to take him as an example in every part of our lives. What were the goals of Rasulullah? What was he trying to do? How did he live? If we want to take him as that beautiful example, that excellent example, the idea is that in every area of our life, that we will take him as a role model and a leader. We'll try to implement his goals. Now, the Islam that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he brought for us is the same Islam of all of the Anbiya. Of course, it's the most complete, most perfect, and final version of Islam. In the Islam of Rasulullah, he taught us that Islam is not just a personal relationship between us and God. That's one part of it. And in the most beautiful way, the ibadah of Rasulullah is something else. He's an example for us in that. But it wasn't only that. Islam, as is, delivered by Rasulullah, also had social responsibilities. I'm going to mention some of the verses of the Quran. Also political responsibilities. Our Prophet had a global vision. But brothers and sisters, this wasn't only our Prophet. One of the things we want to introduce to the world is the concept of divine leadership. Right? The Anbiya were imams. Our Prophet was an imam. The Anbiya were imams of their time. I want to mention a verse of the Holy Quran where Allah says this, Surah 21 and verse number 73. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And we made them, those prophets, أَئِمَّةً. They were leaders. People were supposed to refer to divine leadership. They're supposed to be following the prophet of that time. Another place in the Quran, Surah Nisa, verse number 62, God says this, وَمَا أَرَسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ. We sent no Rasul, no messenger, إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, except that he be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Divine leadership is the solution to all that ails mankind. In our Prophet, his mission was divine and global. So he provided us with that solution, the idea that Islam gave us direction in every single area of our lives. Now, I promise that inshallah today, we'd like to talk a little bit about the vision of our Prophet, because he was a visionary. Our Prophet could see the forest from the trees. He could see the problems that you and I would be facing, and that message that he delivered had information that we would need later on in life. You see, if we look at the text of Islam, we'll see even in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, encouragement to be a visionary, even when it comes to our own spirituality. I want to mention just two of the du'a of Ahlul Bayt before we go over the example of, just one example of that leadership of the Prophet and what he did for us, knowing what we would need. One example of this is a du'a that we make. Inshallah, we're making this du'a right now for when we're older. Right? A visionary, someone who can see 10 years down the line, 50 years down the line, you'll need this. What du'a should I be making right now while I'm young? The du'a, part of the du'a is this. وَجْعَلْ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي الْوَارِثَيْنِ مِنِّي. One of the lines of the du'a. Oh Allah, make my faculties, my hearing and my vision, make them inherit me. We're learning from the Ahlul Bayt to think about when we're a lot older. We're going to need our faculties. We're praying to Allah that I keep my faculties until that time. It's hard enough, it's difficult enough to be older, to be vulnerable, but I want to have my vision and my hearing at that time, right? Thinking of way in the future, planning for that. I'll give you another beautiful one of the du'a of the Ahlul Bayt, but it starts with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Again, the Imam thinking about the future, what we'll need later on. He says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali, waj'al awsa'a rizqika alayya idha kabirt. Oh Allah, it's a request from God. He says, please grant me the most expansive of your rizq. Make me most financially set and leaving an ease as far as financially. He says, when I'm older. Through life, there's ups and downs. right? Everybody goes through. Tilkal ayyam nudawiluha bayna an-nas. Everybody can go through financial difficulties at some time. But if I were to think about it, when would I want to be at ease? Would I want to be, if I was going to face a test, would I want to face it when I'm young and strong or when I'm most vulnerable and now I'm also poverty stricken? Ideally, the person would want when I'm older, when I'm more vulnerable. Right now I'm young, I'm strong, I'll figure it out, whatever it is. I'd want to be set to be, the Ahlul Bayt have trained us to be in this way. They've also given us guidance on how to experience this. Let's say that I'm somebody who would like that inshallah is true, people go through ups and downs, and it might happen to me, it might happen to you, but I'd like it that this dua of the imam be answered for me. What should I do? Is there a way of me experiencing God's goodness in this way? This is now a story from Imam Kadhim. Please send a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So remember, what we're trying to experience God's best. I want God's most expansive rizq. I can go through difficulties when I'm young. Everybody goes through difficulties. But I'd like that when I'm older, I'm set. How? The Imam tells us that there was a man, a righteous man, among the children of Bani Israel. A very righteous man, a pious man, a man of God. And this righteous man had a righteous spouse. One day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to this man. In the words of the hadith, it says, Ar-Rajul. So maybe it was in the dream, he saw a man, maybe one of the malaika, whatever it was, he was told. He said, you're going to live this long, however many years, that's your time on this earth. And the other thing is that you're going to have half of your life in ease, and half of your life in difficulty. Good news, you get to choose which half. Do you want to have ease at first and then figure it out later? Or do you want to have the difficulty now while you're young, while you're strong, but inshallah, in the end of your life, have ease? The man in his dream, he told the person, the messenger, he says that I've got a righteous wife. She's my partner in life. I'd like to talk to her, get her advice, and then I'll come back to you. I'll get back to you. The angel, whoever it was, gave him that permission. He woke up from his dream. He shared what he had learned in the dream with his wife. That, look, I'm only going to be alive until, let's say, 80 years. We don't usually live till we're 200. 80 years, for instance. And I can choose, though. Either I take the first half in ease, or I take the second half in ease. The wife said this. She said, I think we should ask God to have the first half in ease. She said, maybe we'll do the right thing during the first half, and we'll experience the second half with ease also. So now he had a game plan. He went to sleep. Again, he was visited, and what's the answer now? The man, without going into details, said, I want to have the first half with ease. Okay. Imam Kadhim says, after this, basically, the man had the Midas touch. Things were good. Every type of business he would want to open up, alhamdulillah, working. Things are going well. I mean, once you're touched by God, everything opens. And the imam said that his wife was right there behind him. She was like, give to the poor, take care of the needy, your cousin needs some help, your neighbor, right? And so this man spent the first half of his life, he was in ease, but while he had wealth, he spent it in the way of God. Until he finally came to the second half of his life. And again, he was visited. This time when he was visited, listen to the words of the person sent on behalf of Allah. Inna Allah qad shakara laka dhalik. God appreciates you did the right thing in the first half. Walaka tamam umrika sa'atan mithlu ma madha. The favor from Allah, because God's going to outdo you. If you do good for him, he'll outdo you. The favor from Allah is the rest of your life will also be spent in ease. So that's a practical way for us to experience Allah's best. Now, I mentioned that if there was time, I'd like to talk a little bit about the vision of our prophet for his ummah. Our prophet, it was as if he could see that there would come a time in the ummah that people, because of the outside culture, right, this heedless, godless culture, would be so selfish, so much about me, that it would get to a stage people's selfishness would do them in. Do them in. To the extent that people would be hesitant to have children. Sometimes people are a little hesitant. I want to enjoy my life. I want to benefit. Right? Children, right? Or I'll have one or two, right? Let's listen to the words of the prophet, though. The prophet said this, all those years ago, seeing this time, he said, "Tanakahu takthuru," get married and increase in numbers. I'll talk about why. What is it that the prophet saw about those people who were so selfish they knew themselves in? He says that, "Fa'inni ubahi bikum al-umam," because of your numbers, I will boast about you over all of the other nations. He says numbers are so important. He says, walau bisidq. Let's say there's a child which is stillborn. Sometimes there's a miscarriage. He says, even then. So our prophet wanted us to have children. Not just one child or two children. What scholars tell us is try to at least have four. Let me mention something just in parentheses. Nations that don't have that allow for immigration. I don't know how many of you remember when the Syrian conflict started. Remember how they were rubbing it in the noses of the Muslims after they had destroyed the country of the Muslims, that we're accepting X amount of refugees from Syria. Germany should accept this amount. Right? Rubbing it in the faces of the Muslims, if you guys remember. Why do you think they accept immigrants? Is it qurbatan ilallah? That they're just thinking, oh, this is, do they ever think like that? What happens is, if we don't replace our numbers, countries grow old. The weight of caring, and we're going to talk about the reasons why, the weight of caring for the elderly becomes such, countries start to collapse. I remember Denmark at one time, they were like, have children, they would pay. They would give money, just have children. They know that they're going to just finally be extinct. Now, what did our prophet teach us? He said this, Baytun la sibyana fi. Let's say we have a house which has no children. La sibyana fi, no little kids. La barakata fi. There's no barakah in that house. Now, why would that be the case? Let's say, alhamdulillah, I did do the first part of the hadith. I got married. Responsibility, I got married. Alhamdulillah, I have one kid. What are the dangers of being an only child? What did the prophet see? What happens to the children? And also after that, what happens to us? So some of the challenges, because you see, brothers and sisters, if you look at the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt, we're excluding Imam Mahdi, we don't know how many children he will have. Inshallah, Allah hasten his reappearance. We're excluding Prophet Muhammad, but on average, for the Ahlul Bayt, 9 children. I'm not saying brothers and sisters have to have that many. I'm going to talk about it, but inshallah. But what happens if you only have one child, or two even? What are the dangers of being an only child? This is us now trying to think, trying to be visionary when it comes to our children. One of them is the challenge of loneliness. The best playmate for a small child are other brothers and sisters around their age. Those children who grow up without brothers and sisters, without somebody to talk to bounce their ideas off, to take them aside, to share with, right? One of the real challenges is loneliness. What else? Being spoiled. Sometimes what happens, I only have one child. I pour out all of that love that I should be having for so many children. I only have one. My child ends up being someone who after me isn't going to be a viable adult. I've even seen this mistake. Somebody will go through poverty and they'll be like, my child will never experience poverty. And sometimes you find the children don't even know the value of money. Another one that happens is sometimes, each one of these are discussions. We want to finish, inshallah, because we're almost out of time. Not being independent is another challenge that comes up. Those children who've never had to deal with other children, they find with those rules of life that you compete, you talk, you negotiate, those rules of life, those children don't do them. What happens to the parents? I just want to say this quickly, inshallah, we'll end. When you're an elderly parent, this is now us being visionaries. Your children, when you were alive, you were their insurance and you were their caretakers. They're wajibul nafaqa. Your children, they're poor, they're not able. For us, when our parents are, and we stay independent as long as we can, right? Islam says no retirement, but who is supposed to take care of us once we get older? Our children. If you and I are older, you want to have that responsibility shared with a lot of children. You don't want to only have one child. And then, of course, this is a responsibility. But ideally, if there's several brothers and sisters all taking care of that responsibility, then that's definitely something that should be kept in mind. Now, just because we have like 30 seconds before we end, two things. One of them is, even if I would like to have a lot of children, I should speak to my wife and make sure that she doesn't experience baby burnout. Sometimes if we're trying to have kids, we have them very, very quickly in a row. My wife might be so overwhelmed, and every woman is different. So we have to talk to our spouse, try and convince them, and then also find out what is a good time. Ideally, the scholars say not more than 3-4 years. We don't want to have each child going through the first 7 years and the second. Last one is the reality that sometimes there's a stillborn. There's a miscarriage, which is very difficult. But what did the Prophet do in order to make sure that this difficulty doesn't come our way? This is what he says. He says, if someone has a stillborn child, a miscarriage, that child will wait at the gates of paradise for their parents. When the parents, Allah will tell the child, enter paradise, the child will say, I don't want to go into paradise. I won't enter until my parents go. Allah will send one of the malaika, find the parents, bring them to paradise, and then the child will enter. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, to accept what was said and heard in his way, and we end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
San Sheikhna. Inshallah, another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, if the brothers and sisters would like to join us for prayer, we're going to inshallah have adhan in a minute or so, and the bathrooms in the cafeteria are open for anybody that needs to do wudu, and inshallah we'll pray together, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Who's gonna?
Whoever, it doesn't matter.
No, we're gonna start this. That way people get assembled near you.
Okay.
They're good.